Beautiful song, and sung beautifully. Thank you very much. Such a privilege and an honor for me to be a part of Hiram First Baptist Church. Saw a guy this week, and I invited him. He said, I don't know if I'm good enough to come to First Baptist Church. I said, well, you know, I didn't think I was good enough to preach at First Baptist Church. I like that line in that song. It says, I was lost, but now I'm found. Yes. A baby changes everything. See, Christmas is about Christ. And it is about the birth of a Savior. There were a lot of gifts given, but the greatest gift was the one that the Lord gave us, that Christ gave us, is the hope of eternal life. Yes. There's a song that I've mentioned a couple of times entitled The Sweetest Gift. You know, we all want to see the Lord. I want to see Jesus. But if you've lived very long, you have other things in heaven you want to see. And in this song, here's what it talks about. It said, the sweetest gift is knowing where they are. And that's a sweet gift. And it's something that's offered to every one of us, but you have to receive it. It seems funny to me. I've been thinking about this lately, and it seems like everybody, you know, wants to go to heaven. But would you just let the Lord come in your heart? This morning, the message that's on my heart, and this is something that came on my heart yesterday, so I'm going to do my best to follow the Lord. Sometimes I'm sitting, studying, praying, and I end up with two or three, and sometimes I come in here on Sunday morning, and I still have three, and I don't like that. Sometimes I don't know till almost time for me to walk up here, and I have actually walked up behind the podium here and not know until I open my mouth and God shows me. But I want to tell you something. It's very important to me that I be led by the Lord. Amen. And this particular message came on my heart yesterday, and when it did, it nothing else would stay. So I know this is what God wants this morning. But the title of the message is Good News for Lost People. You know, we live in a world today that really needs the Lord, and some of us recognize our need for the Lord, some more than others. I want to read scripture in Matthew chapter number 18, beginning in the 11th verse. And in this scripture, this message is one that does have a lot of scripture in it. So I'm going to be going through a lot of Bible verses. I'm sure they'll put as many of them as they can up on the board. But there are quite a few of them here. And you know what? And let's just say this. Let's understand this. And it's okay to say amen right here. My opinion doesn't mean anything. What means something is what the Word of God says. What means something is what the Word of God teaches us. And, you know, that's why we can get in trouble. People get into their opinions. But what does God's Word say? What does it say to us? Well, in Matthew chapter number 18, it is a picture of the lost sheep, or chapter 18, verse 11. And it says this, and it's speaking of Christ, and it's talking about that baby, Christ, became a man. That changes everything. It says, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that when he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. And here's what I want you to understand, that God's plan is for you. God loves you. God cares for you. God wants you to be with Him in heaven for eternity. You know, and sometimes we look around, and let's be careful. I'm going to get into this in just a minute. Let's be careful about thinking, well, I can understand why God would love them. And I can kind of understand why God might love them, but I don't see how God would love me. The Bible teaches us very plainly that if you're guilty of one sin, you're guilty of all. And we got to be careful about saying, well, I'm better than so-and-so. You got one, you're guilty. Okay? Now, I want you to understand the good news. This is good news, folks. The good news is that God sent His only begotten Son into the world so that you and I can be saved. That's good news. That's good news. It's good news if you're lost, because right now, this is important, Jesus is looking for you. Yes. Jesus is calling you. He has a desire that you would come and be a part of His family. and he wants you to come and enjoy the fellowship. People say, well, I just don't know if I can live like so-and-so. I can't live like nobody. I can't. I need God every day. Sometimes I come in here and I go over in the corner, or I go over here in the corner. I tell you what I'm looking for. Sometimes I'm looking for a place to hide. I'm looking for a place that I can ask God, would you please pour something out on me this morning? Because I'm not feeling holy. I'm just feeling like a regular old man. How do we normally feel? We ache in the flesh and the body. We struggle with the thoughts in our mind. We struggle with the fact of knowing, as Paul did, that we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be complete until we're home with the Lord. Amen. Right now, Jesus Christ is looking for you. That's good news. Now, here's bad news. Here's the bad news, and there is some bad news. If you've never prayed to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never accepted Christ and said, Lord, I repent of my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart, and I give you my heart and my life. I want to tell you right now, here's the bad news. You're lost.
That's right.
And we live in a world today where there are so many lost people, and it seems like that when they're sometimes around the Word of God or around God's people, they just don't want nothing to do with it. You know, if you don't want nothing to do with it, you're not going to have anything to do with it. But the bad news is what the Word of God teaches, that if you've never accepted Christ, you are lost. You see, here's something to consider, and sometimes I don't know how people get through life without thinking about this. See, God created the heavens and the earth, and He created the first man, Adam, and his wife. I don't know what people think when they look outside and they see the beautiful creation. They see the sunrise, the sunset, the beauty of God's creation, the animals, the birds, all the things living, and they wonder where it came from. God created it. And then God created man in His image, and He placed him in that perfect place in that garden. And there was a time when Adam and his wife Eve sinned by taking of that which God said not to take of. Now, folks, I know it's all part of God's plan, but because of their sin, we became sinners. And that sin nature was passed down to us, and through Adam's sin, all men became sinners.
Amen.
The bad news is, we're born into sin. We're born into a curse. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, I want to tell you why. Because that is what the Word of God teaches us. That is what the Word of God tells us. Now, all we have to do to look around us and realize that we're sinners is just look around you. Just look around you at what's going on in the world today. Look around you at what's going on in our country, what's going on abroad, and we realize that the world needs Christ. You see, Romans 5:12 says this, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That's what the Word of God says. Romans 3:10 says this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You know, sometimes people say, well, I'm pretty good. I'm good enough. No, you're not. You'll never be good enough, because if there was one, and here's what it would have took, just one. One man good enough, Christ would not have had to come. But no one was good enough. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 to 10 says this, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Now, the Bible is very clear. We're sinners and we're lost and we need a Savior. Now, some people recognize it. Some people recognize it and they'll even agree with you. They say, well, I know that there's a God. I just don't know if I can ever get to where He is at. You know, sometimes, let's just be honest, sometimes people just need a little help, a little guidance. They might need you to care for them and to show them and tell them. Now, you know, here's what I want us to understand. Every person in this church right now that's here because you're saved and you just want to worship God and you want to praise Him, at one time you were lost.
Amen.
Okay? At one time, and there's some that are here today that are serving and worshiping the Lord and praising Him. At one time, you were an alcoholic. At one time, you were addicted to something that had control of your life and your body. And it could be a drug. It could be a habit. It could be something that you were doing. And you didn't think there was any way that you could change. But when God came on the scene and He moved in your life, you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Some recognize it. They say, I know there's a God. I just don't know how to get to where He's at. I want to tell you why we're here this morning. It's because we want to help everybody that we can get to where God is at. You know, we've been talking about the things going on at the church. And one thing that we need to put on the list when we do build a bigger building is I want a bigger altar. You know, there's some churches you go in, Brother Tom, and they don't even give an altar call anymore. They don't have a situation to where you can come down and pray. You know, I grew up like this. You'd go down to the altar. I can't tell you how many times I'd get up, and it was a wooden bench, and there'd be tears running across it. Because people came and poured their heart out to God. I preached a revival one time over in Marietta, and there was a man came down. He said, God got a hold. God's owed me. He said, I don't know what to do. We think that's foreign. Do you know how many people are out there that have never been in church? Never heard the gospel. Never been around a church. Don't know what it means when you give an altar call and you say, would y'all come down and pray? They don't understand. They're afraid. I want to tell you at this church what happens is somebody will care for you. Somebody will put their arm around you. Somebody will take the word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, here's how we do it. Men work with men and ladies work with ladies. And we teach you from the word of God that God loves you and will lead you and will help you until the Holy Spirit is able to do its work in your life. See, some recognize it, but they reject it. They refuse the reality of it. They refuse to obey. They refuse to bow. And as the story says in the Word of God, in one place they say, we will not have this man to rule and to reign over us. We're living in that world today. You know, it's okay to be anything in the world as long as you're not a Christian. It's okay to talk about any God you want to talk about unless you say the name of Jesus. But the Bible plainly teaches that there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. You see, and then there are some that mock at it. There are people who laugh at us as Christians. There are times when I preach and I see this and I just keep right on. I'm going to serve God. But I'll tell you, it's different when I'm up here and I'm looking that way. Some people, and I had a Brother Billy told me this recently, and I like this Brother Billy. He said, what will make you laugh and cry at the same time? That's the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when someone's laughing in the Spirit, I can tell it's a lot different than when they're laughing at me because they think it's funny that I'm preaching. They think it's funny because of what I say I believe. But I want to tell you, my friend, you might mock God now, but the Bible says this, that there's going to come a time when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Because when you stand in the presence of God, you're not going to stand there in boldness. You're going to bow. See, we live in a time and an age, just like it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. Says they are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want to tell you something, young people. Being a Christian is cool. It's the best way to be. Y'all remember those songs, I Was Country When Country Wasn't Cool? You come into this church on Sunday morning and guess what? It's okay to say being a Christian is cool. We were here yesterday morning. We have a fellowship breakfast. It was okay to say being a Christian is cool. You know, we're going to have a nativity out on the ground out here, and we're going to try to keep these animals under control, and we're going to try to get this singing where you can hear it. And you know what we're going to say? Being a Christian is cool. But when you go to work next week and when you go back to school, I want you to understand something. Everybody out there don't agree with you. But it doesn't change it because we know that it's right. I'm going to tell you something else. All them people that mock you, one day they're going to have a funeral. Oh, yeah. You know what I found, and I've said this before in my family, I'm the family preacher. I preached funerals of people that laughed at me. I preached funerals of people that mock at me. And sometimes I wonder, why do they call me? See, everybody needs God, and they know it. The bad news is sometimes they wait till it's too late. Well, let me tell you the good news this morning. Here's the good news. We're here together in the house of God. Together. In God's presence, in God's house, where people have already met this morning before this service started and had prayer. And they asked God that if there's anybody here this morning, Lord, that doesn't know you, would you please speak to their heart? And you know, here's number one thing that's the good news. The call is still going out. The door of mercy has not been closed because the gospel is still being preached, because the drawing power of God, of the Holy Spirit, is still at work in our midst, and God is still drawing and calling people to an altar of repentance. Folks, that's good news. You know, it's good news because Jesus Christ has not yet returned to get His church. You see, what the Bible teaches, and I saw this the other day in a bumper sticker, and it had a cross coming down, it had an arrow, and then it had a tomb, and then it had an arrow going up, and then all it had was an arrow coming back. He's coming back. And He's going to come back and get His church, and guess what's going to happen when He comes and He gets His church, and He takes the people of God out, He takes the prayer warriors out, He takes the preachers out. I want to tell you what's going to happen. There won't be no call going out. That's good news. It's good news because He's not yet come and get His church. And here's the thing I want you to understand. It's good news because God is long-suffering. You ever dealt with somebody and you just say, I'm just wore out. I'm tired of dealing with them. You're dealing with those kids and they won't do their homework and they won't clean the room and you're just like, ugh. Just shut the door. How about a loved one? How about a husband? How about a wife? You love them, you care for them, and you've tried, and you've done everything in the world that you can do, and you don't know what else to do. I want to tell you something. God hasn't given up on you, or you wouldn't be here this morning hearing this message because God loves you. He's long-suffering. That's good news because He's looking for you this morning. I'll tell you something else that's good news. No one is so lost that God cannot save them.
Amen.
No one. You know, I like to hear testimonies of people who are saved by the grace of God that nobody thinks God can save. Sometimes I've heard them say this, oh, there ain't nothing to it. Well, that's between them and God. I heard the testimony of Jeffrey Dahmer. I've heard testimonies of quite a few people like that. You say, well, that's jailhouse religion. Well, thank God that they got it somewhere.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something, folks. There have been people on death row that somebody went and talked to them, that God dealt with them. And right before they took them in and it was the time for them to go out of this walks of life, they cried out to a merciful living God. And I believe the God that I serve, the door of mercy, as long as that door is open, as long as that call is going out, I don't care what they've done, where they've been, God can save them, and we need to be praying for them right now. There's no one so lost that God cannot save them because God specializes in hard cases. And if you look at what He used and who He used, those are the ones that He used the most. I remember one time I was in Bible college, and obviously you got these young men that hadn't learned and didn't understand, and we were talking about divinity and who divinity was and what divinity was, and the guy said something about Moses, and they said something about David. I said, hold on. I said, that's some of the biggest sinners that ever lived. But God used them because God is a God of mercy, and everything He does is a picture of grace from the Old Testament to the New. There's no one so bad that God cannot save them, because God's grace is greater than our sin. You see, Romans 5:20 says this, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Like the song that I love that says, His hand reached further down than I could reach up. Now here's good news. And this is very plain, it's very simple. God will save you. God will save you. Because he loves you. Psalms 103. It talks about as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. John 3:16, this verse says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Because Christ paid the price for our sin. Now this grace is free, but it is not cheap. Because it cost our Lord everything that he has. You see, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, speaking of Christ. It says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." See, that's kind of how it works. It's not about us. But when Christ was on the cross, he literally was there in my place. Now, Romans 5:18, give you just a couple of more verses. Says, "By the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. And even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life." And what that means when it says all in the Greek is all. It's anybody that'll call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says they shall be saved. And that's for you. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You ever thought about it this way? And sometimes people they want to judge God. They want to talk about God is not just, or this world wouldn't be in the shape that it's in. I want to tell you why we're still here. Because he's long-suffering. Why are we still here? I mean, have you ever just said, "Lord, I'd just like for you to come on back. I'm ready to go to be in heaven. I'd like to go see my loved ones. I'm tired of traffic. I'm tired of headaches. I'm tired of work. I'm tired of the struggle. I'm tired of the battle. Lord, I just want to go home." But I'll tell you why we're still here. Because there's a mama somewhere that's praying on her face for a son. There's a grandma that walked all her whole life serving God, knowing that she don't have but just a few years left. And she's down praying, saying, "Lord, save my grandson. God, would you reach out and touch my boy? Lord, my daughter's over there in trouble. Would you go to her?" It's the long-suffering and the mercy of God that's the reason we're still here today. Here's some more good news. You don't have to work your way in. That's good news. That's good news. You see, because the Bible plainly teaches, and I don't know where these people are, and there's so many religions that are this way, they think that it's all about what you do. But it's not. You say, "Well, I don't have anything to give." No, you don't. If you could, you'd be giving it. You see, if we thought we could work our way in or buy our way in, we wouldn't have a 401k. We'd have a heaven bound, and we'd be pouring it in there. We'd be trying to pay for our wrongs. We'd be trying to buy us a place. And if we thought it worked that way, we'd try to buy us a better place. But it don't work that way. For we're saved by grace, not of works. Here's what the Bible says. And it's, what does the Bible say? Ephesians 2:8-9 says this, says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Can I tell you something? There's absolutely no place whatsoever for arrogance amongst God's people. If you've never done this or that, all you can say is it's only by the grace of God. That's all. See, you don't have to work your way in because you're saved by grace and not of works, but because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. What is that? It's just believing. Romans 3:27-28 says this. It says, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. And by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Wherefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Just faith. Faith in God. And it's so simple, and I wonder why sometimes so many people want to make it more complex than it is. And when you give the invitation, I want to tell you something. There's been times that I preached that I knew that the majority of the people there were not Christians. And I couldn't understand why it wasn't when Jesus walked by Zacchaeus' tree and he was up in the tree. And he looked up and you know, Zacchaeus was in the tree and God knew he was there. By the way, God knows exactly where every one of us is at. And he looked at Zacchaeus and he said, make haste and come down. And I believe when he said that, he skidded to bark off of that tree, getting down to get to where God was at. And as simple as it is, and such a gift as it is, I don't know why when we give the invitation, the altars are just presents, knock them out of the way. Let's get right with God this morning. I can remember being out on my garage, and it's one of those Saturday afternoons that I rarely get. You know, some people want to go off and do this and do that. They want the cruise or they want the mall. I just want the garage. And I'm standing there in the garage and I'm fiddling around. And here comes two guys walking up. And folks, if you've been walking with the Lord very long, you'll get some discernment. I knew them before they got to me. And a man started talking to me, and I listened. I was kind. Now, I'll be honest, I was grumbling under my breath. You know, I was saying, I ain't got time for these people. But you know what the Holy Spirit said? You tell them about me. Yeah. And I started talking to that man, and he was, one of them was an elder. One of them was a young convert, and they were training him. And that elderly man, he started trying to talk to me and tell me about what I needed to make it into heaven. And the Lord come on the scene, and I probably quoted him 25 Bible verses in a row. And I asked him, I said, wouldn't it be a shame to serve your whole life and get to the end of your life and not even know if you're going to heaven or not? I thought the man was going to bow right there. But you know what? He was like a lot of people. You know why people don't come down here and bow? You know why they don't skin the tree? You know why they don't come running to God? Because they're too proud. And he was too proud to admit that what he had believed his whole life was wrong. I had a lunch meeting with a man. He was a consultant. We sat in the Longhorn and we sat there and, you know, just casual conversation. We got to talking. I found out that he was a doctor of philosophy. He had a doctorate degree and he had tried several religions and he had been a Christian before and he had been that before and now he was just really looking for the enlightenment and he started talking about existentialism and all this stuff and I just looked, boy, it wasn't long. The Lord come on the scene and the same thing, I started giving him the word and I took him right back to his roots. I took him back to the day that he was a boy and he was going to church with mom and daddy and he went down to the altar, but he just didn't get what he needed. And see, when you get saved by the grace of God, you'll never be the same because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And that man before me went from a confident doctor of theology to broken, not knowing what he was going to do. Now, I'm not telling you that because there's anything about me, but I want to tell you something this morning. The Holy Spirit's here. It's going from breast to breast. It's going through this house. And when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, it will disrupt your playhouse because God will let you know that you are lost and you're a sinner and you need to be saved. That's not me. That's God. You say, well, how will I know? Well, the Bible says this, and we're going to ask him to come just a minute with a song. You can know for sure. You can know for sure. Hey, some things I don't know much about, but I know this much. When I die, I'm going to be with the Lord. And I've learned, and I'm more settled, obviously, than I've ever been. I was saved when I was 12. I've studied all different kind of things. I've studied things that help me to understand, but there's nothing ever taken the place, ever, of the actual evidence and the living Holy Spirit in my life. See, he's in me. And I've never been the same. Not always been good. Sometimes my wife has to remind me, you ain't good as you think you are. But I know, because he's my Lord. And I have a personal, and this is what the Bible teaches. It teaches a personal relationship with a living God. You don't look at somebody else and say, well, that's what it's like. No, it's about you and him. And if you invite the Lord into your heart, I guess what, I tell you what the Bible teaches me he's going to do. He'll ever work with you, and he'll be working with you till the day that you die. 1 John 5:20 says this, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. That is the true God and eternal life. See, he gives us understanding that we may know him, that we are in him. That's why, and I love the song that the ensemble sings, oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. I want to ask you to rise to your feet as they come to sing. I'll tell you, there's good news for lost people. Here's the good news. God loves you. God wants to save you. There's nothing you can ever do that'll go so far as long as the call is going out that he won't reach down into your heart and your life. He wants to be a part of your life. We're going to give a public invitation. If you're here and you'd like for somebody to pray with you, maybe explain some things to you. Ladies, we have ladies waiting right now to pray with you. Men, we have people waiting to pray for you. I will be glad to pray with you. But I'll tell you something this morning. I'll tell you why we're here. We are here this morning because God loves you.